Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the INOX India Results Conference Call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Darwin. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of INOX India. To discuss the result today, we have with us Mr. Siddharth Jain, Director; Mr. Parag Kulkarni, Executive Director; Mr. Deepak Acharya, Chief Executive Officer; Mr. Pavan Logar, CFO; Mr. Sunil Lavati, Investor Relations Officer. We'll start with a brief opening remarks followed by Q&A. Prior to that, I'll hand over to Krishna for a disclaimer.
Thank you, Mohit, and good evening, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to INOX India Limited's result conference call to discuss the Q3 and 9-month financial numbers. Please note a copy of the disclosure is available in the investors section of the website as well as on the stock exchange. Anything said on this call which reflects the outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. With this, I shall hand over the call to Mr. Deepak Acharya, the CEO, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good evening and thank you, Mohit Kumar and Krishna. I am Deepak Acharya from INOX CVA. Good evening, everyone, and hearty welcome to all the investors and analysts on the first result conference call of INOX India Limited post the listing. As you must be aware that we recently got listed in stock exchange on 21st December 2023, and this is our first quarterly result post listing. Thank you for taking the time out and participating in our result conference call. The unaudited financial result as well as the investor presentation for Q3 and 9 months FY24 have been uploaded on the stock exchange. Hope you had a chance to review the same. For the benefit of all who are listening to us for the first time, I like to brief and share the key highlights of our business. INOX CVA has 30 years of experience in design, manufacturing, installation of cryogenic equipments across the globe, making us the world's leading provider of customized cryogenic equipments today. Our business divisions include industrial gas, LNG, cryoscientific division, and are working continuously towards clean energy initiative in LNG, liquid hydrogen, and fusion energy. Over the years, the company has developed engineering expertise coupled with quality product offering and our unwavering customer service that has helped INOX CVA to make its brand value in this space. The company executes large turnkey projects and manufactures specialized non-cryogenic equipment also. The company has a large-scale serial manufacturing facility at 4 locations in India and part manufacturing and service distribution from one of the locations in Brazil, with service distribution extending to Netherlands as well. Very recently, the company undertook a greenfield capacity addition and set up its 4th manufacturing facility at Savli, Gujarat, at the project cost of 100 crores, funded entirely through our internal accruals. To optimize operations, the company has continually undertaken CapEx to support the growing demand into new application areas and strengthen the design function. Over the years, the company has delivered its products and services to over 100 countries, key geographical areas being US, Europe, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Korea, UAE, Australia, to name a few. During 9 month FY24, the company recorded highest ever export revenue of ₹501 crore, up by 75% year on year. Supported by buoyant market situation worldwide for our existing products used in industrial gases, LNG, hydrogen, and evolving new other applications, we have robust order backlog of ₹1043 crore on 9 month FY24 with 50% orders from industrial gas, 23% orders from LNG and balance 27 orders from cryoscientific division. Export orders comprise 47% of the total order backlog. We have actively participated in various public sector tenders which are at different stages of awarding. In addition, we are engaged in discussion with numerous private customers for building LNG infrastructure. Let me briefly take up each of our business divisions separately. Industrial Gas. Industrial Gas registered a quarterly Q3 FY24 revenue of 214 crore and 9-month revenue of 571 crores, contributing 65% of the total income. Under this division, we manufacture cryogenic tanks and systems for storage, transportation of industrial gases such as oxygen, nitrogen, argon, hydrogen, CO2, etc. The various products manufactured under this segment are storage tanks, transport tanks, micro bulk units, vaporizers, cryobio tanks, storage and regas efficient equipments. Over the years, INOX-CV has continually moved up the value chain by developing expertise in designing and manufacturing cryogenic equipment from 1 liter capacity to 1 million liters capacity. LNG division. LNG division registered a quarterly Q3 FY24 revenue of 75 crores and 9-month revenue of 247 crores, contributing to 29% of our total income. Under this division, we manufacture standard engineering equipments for LNG storage, distribution and transportation. Various products manufactured under this segment are storage and regas system for industrial applications, marine fuel gas systems, LCNG fueling station, vehicle-mounted LNG fuel tanks, LNG infrastructure for automotive applications, mini LNG infrastructure, etc. Certain marquee projects executed by the company are installations of mini LNG terminal in Scotland, UK, in 2019, as well as commissioning of LNG dispensing station in Dahej. On cryoscientific area, cryoscientific registered a quarterly Q3 FY24 revenue of 6 crore and 9-month revenue of 37 crore, contributing to 4% of our revenue. Under this segment, we manufacture equipment for technology-intensive applications and turnkey solutions for scientific industrial research involving cryogenic distribution, including equipment for fusion research. The various products manufactured under this segment are satellite launch facilities, cryogenic propulsion system and research, MRI cryostats, fusion and superconductivity, etc. Certain niche projects undertaken by the company as we manufactured and delivered an MRI cryostat for the Government of India project. The company was awarded the contract for development of cryogenic equipments for second launch pad project of ISRO in the year 1999. In 2018, the company manufactured, installed and commissioned Comnavac thermal vacuum system for ISRO Ahmedabad. We also are proud contributors to the world's largest fusion research project by providing critical equipments, mainly 4 kilometer long complex jacketed piping to maintain ultra cold superconducting magnets operational under all conditions to ITER project in France, Europe. Let me share in brief on the overall financial performance of our company. I am pleased to inform you that the company recorded the highest ever revenue of rupees 875 crores and EBITDA of 270 crores during 9-month FY24. The major reason for increase in the robust performance by all our major business segments, historically on an annualized basis, the revenue of the company has been growing at a CAGR of 27%. Over the previous 2 years. EBITDA and PAT margins during the 9 months are 25% and 17% respectively. That reflects our highly specialized, customized and engineering solutions and favorable product mix. I am happy to share that we have been a dividend paying company for the last few years. On the capex side, we have spent total of rupees 103 crores over the last 3 years up to FY23, which has been made through our internal accruals only. Due to high cash flow generation over the years, we are a debt-free net cash surplus company having cash and cash equivalent available on 31st December 2023 of nearly rupees 235 crores. Last bit on the financials, I would like to highlight that we are proud to have best-in-class return ratios with return on capital employed ROC 37% and return on equity ROE 28% on FY23. Let me now share the certain key recent business developments. Adani Total Gas Inox CUA has entered into a mutual support agreement under which the entities mutually accord a preferred partner status for the delivery of LNG and LCNG equipment and services for identifying and exploring possible collaboration opportunities for strengthening the LNG ecosystem in India. This collaboration with Inox CUA shall help Adani Total Gas in undergoing phase transition of long-haul heavy vehicle buses currently using diesel for LNG, helping for 30% reduction in CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions. Also, we help facilitate fast-track setting of LNG station across the country for boosting the confidence of fleet operators to use LNG as a transportation fuel. Very recently, we signed an MOU with Inter-University Accelerator Center, an autonomous institute under the University Grant Commission, Ministry of Education, Government of India, towards collaboration for the development of technology for the design and manufacture of superconducting magnets based for clinical, industrial, and defense research applications. The synergy is to make India one of the global players in manufacturing a superconducting magnet-based system, including next-generation MRI magnets. The technology can be now indigenously developed, such as complex systems can be manufactured in India now. Recently, we also got following three patents registered. One, LNG dispensing station. Second, invention on sliding spacer in the cryogenic piping. And third, displacement decoupling arrangement for double-walled cryogenic piping system. These patents shall strengthen our leadership in cryogenic industry and differentiate our products for superior performance. Cryogenic landscape. The world is talking about hydrogen as the cleanest fuel, and we forayed into this segment since 1999. We are the first Indian company to manufacture trailer-mounted hydrogen transport tank designed jointly with ISRO organization. We offer complete solution for hydrogen storage, transportation and fueling infrastructure. With the proposed launch of National Hydrogen Mission, we anticipate good traction in this segment, and we are happy to share that we are well placed to optimize the huge opportunities in this space. Going forward, we anticipate high demand for cryogenic gases from the metallurgy sector, oil sector, gas, chemical industry, decarbonization, electronics, healthcare, space and satellite, etc. In addition, a shift towards cleaner fuel sources such as LNG and hydrogen in industrial and transport will provide boost to our products. For LNG, we expect strong demand from Asian countries like India, South Korea and other Asian countries, which are increasingly transitioning from energy sources such as coal, crude oil to nuclear and gas. At Inox CVA, our focus is on users in the remote island as well as industrial consumers with no access to natural gas pipeline. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge and be thankful to all our stakeholders who are associated with Inox CVA, above all, our employees. I am extremely thankful to Inox CVA team for delivering resilient work and striving for excellence over the years. This concludes my planned remark, and now I would like to hand over the call to Pawan Logar to take us through the financial highlights before we open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you, Deepak sir, and good evening everyone. A warm welcome on our first result conference call. I shall summarize the consolidated financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months ending 31st December 2023. During the quarter, total income was 295 crores, a growth of 18% from 250 crores of Q3 FY23. During the quarter, EBITDA was 71 crores, a growth of 23% from 58 crores in Q3 FY23. EBITDA margin was at 24.2% as compared to 23.3% in Q3 FY23. The improvement in profitability is on account of pricing time to time and order to order. Normally, it ranges between 21 to 24%. During the quarter, PAT was at 49 crore, a growth of 19% from 41 crore of Q3 FY23. During 9 months FY24, the company recorded a highest ever total income of 875 crores, a growth of 18% from 74 crore in 9 months FY23. During 9 months FY24, the company recorded highest ever EBITDA of 217 crores, a growth of 22% from 178 crore in 9 months FY23. EBITDA margin was 24.8% as compared to 23.9% in 9 months FY23. During 9 months FY24, the company recorded highest ever export revenue of 501 crores, up by 75% YOY and comprising 57% of the total income. The company has a customer base spanning over more than 100 countries and key geographies includes US, Europe, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Korea, UAE, Australia and Bangladesh. Order backlog as on 31st December 23 is the tune of more than 1,000 crores, 1,043 crores. Exports comprising 47% of the total order backlog. The total debt as on FY23 is nil, providing adequate room to raise debt in future. Total net worth as on FY23 is 549 crores. The company has comfortable net cash position of 235 crores as on December 23 end. In June 2023, CRISIL Rating has upgraded our bank loan ratings from CRISIL A plus positive to CRISIL AA minus stable and short-term bank facilities are CRISIL A1 plus. That concludes my update on the financial highlights of the company. I shall now request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankur from HDFC Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening, sir. Thanks for your time as always. Just a few questions. One was, this very strong order inflow growth that we see during the quarter. I think almost 80% growth. If you could just help us... is there a large LNG order also in this, or where are we getting these orders? Is it for industrial gases, which segment, or which markets? If you could just help us.
Ankur, I think you mentioned about the 80% increase. What we were talking about is the last quarter. We have received the substantial orders in all the sectors. We have received the orders from the industrial gas sector, LNG sector, as well as cryoscientific sector. If you see the situation 1 quarter before, we had a pending order of almost about 1,035 level, and the sale which has happened in the quarter is almost the same level that we have received the
okay.
So the orders that we have come from major projects which are coming out of the industrial gas as well as the projects that we have now from the cryoscientific things.
Okay, no, what I'm trying to understand is it more of like base orders or is there any large one-off orders also in this? Is what I was actually trying to understand.
Orders which we keep on getting. This can, some of the projects could come on, some other project could come up some other division. But this is a kind of a base one which is happening all the time.
Okay.
Hi, I'm not sure if everybody can hear me. This is Siddharth Jain speaking. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, no, I just wanted to add that our last quarter was, it was a great quarter. I think approximately 295 crores of fresh orders, which is, in line with our expectation and our turnover, out of which about 190 crores was, I think, industrial gas. I mean, Mr. Acharya can correct the numbers. And about
52 crores in IT. And 75 crores in LNG and balance in cryoscientific and others, making it to 295.
Okay.
Okay, got that. And then clearly you would expect this momentum to continue, right? So I'm just trying to understand, you know, how are the end markets? Is it more exports? Is it more domestic? You know, if more of exports and with geography, so if you could just help us understand and give us a little more sense, you know, on key end markets which are driving this kind of growth for you.
So I think the growth is being driven equally by all the three sectors. We do see a kind of a stronger demand coming up on the cryoscientific area right now, mainly because of some of the major projects which are now coming up on the scientific research area. We do see that there is a consistent demand which is coming up for LNG. As we are, you must have heard about the collaboration or the agreement that we have signed with the Adani.
Total.
That is also opening up new doors, and they are having aggressive plans to go ahead and further for distribution of natural gas. We are constantly dealing with several institutions and the customers where the projects are on the anvil. So I would guess that the trend that we have as far as the past is concerned, we expect that to continue even going forward.
Okay. And if you could just remind us, what would be your 24 guidance on top line margins, if any, if you could help us with that?
Let me take that, Siddharth Jain. You know, of course, we don't give guidance for the future, but as we said during the IPO time, that we expect our past trajectory to continue in the next few years. And as you can see from our current results, I think we see that trend continue.
Sure. Okay. Fair. All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Bhandari from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Can you tell me what was your capex for the 9 months FY24 and what you are willing to do as a capex for the coming up quarter, and also the capex for the upcoming financial year, that is financial year 25?
Actually, for 9 months, we already incurred about 90 crores, 95 crores, and in the next quarter, we will incur around 25 crores more. And this is mainly because of this Savli project, which we already shown in our IPO also. Now, the production already started for this Savli. And from next year onwards, around 50 crores, around 40 to 50 crores will be there, and around 15 to 20 crores will be for maintenance capex every year.
Okay. And can you throw some color on the margins that you are willing to maintain for the coming financial year? Will they be in the same lines, or we can see any improvement? And if there is gonna be any improvement, from which business vertical you are seeing the same?
Normally, we will maintain our margins in a similar way. However, a few basic points here and there in the different divisions will depend upon the type of the order and the specialized equipments we have to supply. But normally, it will be the almost similar.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prachir Jain from Sri Kalyan Holdings. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the robust performance of your company. I would just like to ask you, like the collaboration of the company with Adani Total Gas, how much will it contribute to the revenue of the company, and how long will it take to reflect in the balance sheet and the profit and loss of the company? Thank you.
Yeah, Adani Total is a preferred partnership. We have signed a MOU with them, and they have very major plans for LNG as a vertical for them. And in coming 2 to 3 years, they will be expanding heavily, especially on the fueling station, LCNG station, satellite station, and maybe the convergence of their mining and cement trucks to LNG as a fuel. So though the numbers are not clear to us as on today, but they expect a substantial addition into the LNG business on this.
And this is a long-term contract?
It's a long-term contract. It's at least we have like 5 years contract with them, and if required, then it can be extended.
Okay, thank
you. If I may just add, Prajay, you see, Adani is building out, when Adani Total Gas is building out this LNG infrastructure, it requires a lot of, for us to collaborate with each other on an engineering basis as well, design, engineering, planning. So, we're going to work with them, to help them design the equipment that they need to fulfill their needs. So, numbers is one part. This is not just about a commodity supply. It's about system supply. So that's the difference.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead. Nikhil, the line for you has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Hello. Yeah. So, thanks, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, we were also participating in PSU tenders for CNG station. So, can you throw some light on that as to how many tenders we have participated? Are we L1 in some of the tenders? And how do you see the prospects of them going forward?
So, we have been participating in the several tenders so far. And just a minute. For LCNG, we have been with Gujarat Gas, Torrent Gas, Indraprastha, IRM, Singh Gas, HPCL, BPCL. So almost all these places we have received the orders. And many projects like GAIL and other things, they are under the bidding stage. And we hope that with whatever the track record we are having, we'll certainly get orders from these PSUs. Even we have supplied a lot of critical equipments to IOCL for their 26 LNG fueling station projects.
Right. When you participate in this PSU tender, how is the competitive intensity? Can you just name a few, some of your competitors who are always present in this bidding?
So we have our major competitors is the Chart VRV in Chennai, and there are some local other manufacturers who also bid. But whatever we have seen in the past, our rates are very competitive, and our product has a very good acceptability in the market. And with the very critical specifications they are putting in the RFQ, we get the leading hand on all that.
Okay. And sir, are we also willing to participate in LNG fueling stations?
Yes, yes. We are participating in the LNG fueling station in a big way. And we have already commissioned HPCL and BPCL projects. And so many other projects are in hand now. We have got a few stations from Adani Total as well for LNG fueling.
Okay. So going forward, is it fair to assume that our share of domestic sales will be higher as compared to exports?
So it is almost like 50-50%, maybe sometimes 48-52 like that. But it is normally last few quarters, it is 50-50.
Understood. And just a last question, sir. Our order book is almost 1x of our FY23 revenue, almost on so what exactly is the execution cycle of this order book and just this much?
Normally we have two major products. One is standard products and another is custom built products. Or the cycle time for manufacturing of standard products is roughly 3 to 4 months. Whereas the big projects, it ranges from 8 months to 12 months maximum. So this is the time period where we normally finish such projects.
So within 1 year we execute the entire order book?
1 year, yeah. From the scratch to completion.
Understood. And sir, on this agreement with Adani Total, you mentioned on the call that we are at the stage of designing and basically doing all the ground designing work as of now. So when should we start the actual order booking from this agreement?
Already we have started order booking. The three earlier stations, what they were having, so we have helped them in starting those stations because they were having some issues with the station which was delivered by some other companies. And we recently, last week only, we received five fueling stations from them.
Five fueling stations. Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kadam from Canara Robeco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, just wanted some clarity.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but you're not audible,
hello?
Sir. Yes.
Is it fine now?
This is much better.
It's okay? Yeah. So, sir, hi, good evening, sir. Just wanted some clarity on the numbers, how it is like from a seasonality or fluctuation point of view. Like, just one observation was, like, in the top line, the revenue part, the domestic revenues is pretty much flat YOY, whereas the large part of the growth was contributed by the export, where 99 crore export has moved to 145 odd crore. Just wanted to understand what what are the things that happens during that particular orders or this thing which leads to like a domestic, even though there is what your commentary says that there is a traction in the domestic market also, but then YOY, why is it flat? And what is leading to this significant jump in that export of like more than 50% odd? So that's the first question from my end.
So basically on industrial gas business is a very standard business. So the growth looks little flatter, but definitely we are not losing any orders, and we are very confident that we will get orders in future as well. And on the export front, we have major like LNG and cryoscientific orders, and these are from various European companies and very research institutes from Europe. And that is why we are saying that our export will be almost 50% what we have achieved so far, and will continue in the same fashion.
But in that case, just adjusting for that particular raw material inflation which would have impacted our top line movement, but like as you are saying that we are getting a good traction in the LNG fuel station installation, this means OMCs are getting little got little aggressive in setting that, then what has like, just wanted to understand more with more clarity that what would have gone out and what would have incrementally come in this particular revenue, because as you said,
Acharyaji, let me take this. You know, you have to view our revenue not on a quarterly basis between domestic and export, because every quarter, in some quarters, exports are more and domestic are less, and vice versa. It has to be seen on an annual basis.
But annual basis.
Annual basis, our guideline, our split between domestic and export right now is looking like half-half on an annual basis.
No, I just...
Does that answer your question or does it?
It doesn't, sir, because last year, quarter three, your domestic revenue is 145 crore ballpark.
No, I'm saying you can't compare year on year, quarter on quarter cannot be compared.
Okay.
You have to compare annual. Annual means 12 months. Annual does not mean 3 months on 3 months. That cannot be compared in an industry like ours, where some months you will have domestic sale more, some months you will have export sale more. You have to see the 12-month cumulative number. Because 50% of our revenue is non-standard tanks, project-based. Right? It depends on revenue recognition methodologies because of Ind AS. There are many factors involved. So you cannot compare Q3 versus Q3, FY24 versus FY23 and look into the export-domestic split in that.
Fine. Point taken.
The guidance is on an annual 12-month cumulative basis, half off.
Okay. Just to extend this thing, then if we want to take a little more like idea on how we are going ahead or moving for that annual number, what will be then the correct way of understanding our growth trajectory, because the annual could be a little longer time to get the clear sense how we fare by the year end. But like if you want to track in a better way, in a, some piecemeal level, then what would be the correct way of seeing that we are on the correct trajectory?
You know, on an EPC, I mean, when you're doing businesses like ours where 50% of our revenue comes from projects which take 8 to 12 months, and 50% of our revenue comes from standard times, it's very difficult to track piecemeal when the delivery of our product is only takes more than a quarter.
And then so, what will be the strongest quarter for us, sir? Then at least that
there is no strongest quarter. We are not a seasonal business.
Okay. So deliveries can happen all through the year based on how the orders are shipped. Okay.
Absolutely. Deliveries do happen. I mean, for example, this past quarter, we did 295 crores of sales and our 9-month revenue was also, what is the 9-month revenue, guys?
875.
Sorry, 875. So it's pro rata, as you can see, almost.
Got it, sir. And just final question is, just wanted to get some update on the LNG fuel tanks as such, which like which was we were planning for the commercial vehicles, heavy commercial vehicles, where we are in terms of like how the OEMs are looking forward. We had got some initial traction in terms of qualification. Where we stand right now?
Yeah, so, you know, I think this is a really futuristic segment. And we are really, it's fortunate that we were the first movers in this in India, where we have invested in the line ahead of schedule. We have designed world-class products and we have got approval of our products from all the OEMs as well. We are definitely seeing a lot of traction on it. In order for the OEMs to buy the tanks, they also need the fuel stations in place. And those fuel stations are coming up as well. So, you know, our deliveries are continuing. And we are certainly seeing over the next 12 to 24 months a much larger offtake in this line.
I'd like to add that besides OEM, there are a lot of convergence also happening. Old trucks and buses may be converted from diesel to LNG as a fuel along with the engine. So that much is also happening in many places now. So that will also add a business to our business.
Very nice, sir. So there is a further question. I'll join back in the queue. I'll come back later. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Pritesh Chedda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
I didn't understand what exactly we will do in the truck side. Basically, we will give them the tanks or we'll have a whole kit around it?
So we will give the fuel tanks and the kit suppliers are again, we have associated with them. So together it will be fitted into the truck and basically our supply will be mainly the tank, the fuel tank.
I want to clarify, there are two different parts for the fresh OEM. We are OEM suppliers of the tank itself to, just for the sake of an example, let's call it Tata. And if they're making a truck, it will be a brand new gas engine based truck where we will be supplying the tank. But in the case of a conversion, it requires a kit supplier as well. So just two different verticals. Pritesh.
Okay.
Ed. That when we say or the LNG tank, it tank comes along with its conversion to the regasification. So directly the gas is regasified and delivered to the engine. So the entire system, which is consisting of the storage tank as well as regasification, is packaged together. And that is the package which we will give, whether it is for a new build or for conversion.
Okay. And is it fair to assume that today, the LNG business, which is 20% of your business, is largely coming outside India? The India part of the business and the ordering will now start?
So it is both because, you see, in India also, there is city gas distribution system which has happened. The part of the trucks getting converted or heavy-duty trucks getting converted to LNG is the one which is happening now. But there is also the industrial requirement where people who are not on the pipeline, they get the fuel in the LNG form, that means in the liquid form, and then they have their own regasification on site. Also, there are city gas distribution companies which are not onto the gas pipeline. They have the LCNG stations, which means the liquid CNG station, which are also supplied by us as a cryogenic storage and pumping systems. So this part of the business continues. We expect the growth to happen when the trucks becomes also the long distance truck get converted, and the additional business would come up with the LNG fuel stations as well as LNG fuel tanks coming up on that. Our export market continues for the tanks and regasification systems that we supply to the global market. Marine is a major market that we keep supplying, and that is for the conversion of the marine fuel from the diesel or any other heavy polluting fuel to the LNG. And we supply the LNG tanks as well as the regasification system which comes along with that.
Okay. And what's your global market share in LNG and India market share?
Actually, this business is so niche and it's very complex. So there's no published data which is available. But what we can say is we are among the first couple of companies which are there in this operation. So there are only few companies with whom we compete globally when we talk about the such regasification systems or the marine applications as such.
Okay. And my last question is this Adani partnership. What does it encompass? What kind of equipment supply does it will lead to?
Yeah, the total package system like fueling station, LCNG stations, satellite stations, fuel tanks for the trucks, and basically to support their initiatives in the LNG sector, training them and providing them the technical inputs for their new upcoming projects. This is the entire gamut where we'll be working with them.
And when should the ordering to you start?
Ordering has already started. We are recently fueling stations from them now.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinayak from Hirema. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Can you shed some light on beverage tank business?
Yeah, we recently started a plant at Savli in 31 acres of land which is there. So we have put our first three shops where we have started manufacturing beverage kegs, and the capacity of this plant is around 1 million, but we will go in step by step. So we have already started manufacturing, the trial production is on, and few commercial production is also started. We have supplied to Belgium, US and Germany, and the order flow has started coming in now.
How is it picking up, sir? Recently we had some collaboration with Italian manufacturer, right, sir?
That was the initial collaboration for the technology transfer, and we are working with them continuously on the product development as well as the manufacturing excellence initiatives. So that is we did in on August 23, and it is continued.
So how are the margins in that business, sir?
I think we have just started the whole project right now, so it is the initial supplies which are going on. Now we are in the process of making sure that all the line setup and the line balancing is happening. So this is the early stages. I think we can practically see the operations during next financial year. FY25 could give us a certain clear picture, because this year is just the investment beginning, which has happened, and we are training our people, and we are just getting the product through in terms of the trial productions, I would say.
My second question is, there is a lot of overlap between Inox Air Products and Inox CVA business, right, sir? Is there any non-competitive agreement between these two companies?
I think there is a little misunderstanding. Let me clarify that Inox Air Products is in the business of setting up the air separation plants and selling the industrial gases, which is liquid oxygen, liquid nitrogen. They would need the capital expenditure in the form of storage tanks, transportation tanks, customer station tanks, And that is the product that we manufacture. The Inox CVA or the Inox India Limited is the one which is a capital goods manufacturing company and which supplies the products to Inox Air Products as well as the competitors of Inox Air Products. So we are able to sell. So there is no competition between the two. We have a relationship of buyer and a supplier.
And my third question is there any direct benefit from the National Green Hydrogen Mission? I mean, I couldn't see any collaborations between green hydrogen producers as of now.
See,
including air products. Yes.
Green hydrogen production globally is happening at an early stage where the countries are all getting committed to conversion of the fuel to ultimately to hydrogen, because that is the you know, least polluting or the zero polluting fuel. Now, our business is mainly associated with the distribution of hydrogen. And as the hydrogen generation starts, we are not in the generation of hydrogen, but we are in the storage and distribution of hydrogen. So our business is happening to all those green hydrogen projects which are coming up globally and where they need to store large quantities of hydrogen. And as we had mentioned during the IPO stage also, that the world's largest green hydrogen product or liquefaction plant has come up in Korea, and we have been the supplier of the storage equipment at that particular location. And similarly, we do see there are more opportunities where different projects coming up in the world. We are in a position to bid for them, and we are able to showcase our references to exploit the growing market which will come up. But as everyone knows that this is a long-term play, the projects will come one by one, and we hope to have the continuity of this.
Yes. Sir, one more. Are we looking for any ITER kind of mega projects?
There are similar projects which are coming up. I think the ITER is one extremely large project, but I'm sure when this project becomes successful, when it comes to the various countries will start looking into their own projects. Even India at some stage will think about making some demo projects or a demo the fusion projects. But we simultaneously we also have other projects which are called big science projects. For example, right now in Germany, there is a FAIR project which is coming up, F-A-I-R, and we have already started bidding as well as receiving certain orders for the projects. There is a FAIR project, and we expect similar projects to happen all over the world, and in different locations, we will bid for such kind of mega science projects.
Yes, sir. In terms of government projects, if we can a bit compromise on our margins, can we get more projects from the government PSUs kind of?
It's if you're referring to the scientific projects.
Non-scientific, sir, general.
General, we have only two areas which we really work with the government. It's in the LNG field and the scientific field. And the third one is, of course, hospital requirements. The government business, as you would know, will always go for a tendering. And the tendering happens between the selected products. So it is.
That's what I was asking. Whether are we going to compromise margins in order to get more projects from the government?
Like this, that when
is
you.
Any aggressive plan towards it?
Yeah, actually, our intention for bidding at every government tender is to win the tender. And the winning the tender price is one of the criteria. And we have to see that we meet all the specifications, and we focus our manufacturing cost to be the lowest possible thing. So while protecting our margin, we would be in a position to win these kind of businesses. So it's our effort all the time, and we do win a high percentage of the government orders by our strategy.
Aggressive strategy.
Thank you.
No. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Damani from SKD Consulting. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and congratulations on the very fine performance that you have shown, sir. Actually, I just wanted to thoroughly understand things to my level. So, I mean, are we... Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you. Are we simply mechanical erectors of tanks, or some technologies are also involved in making this so as to, making it almost non-competitive from other small or big workshops? Can you kindly answer me this?
Yes, so I think what we do is we manufacture these tankages for storage of liquefied gases, which are extremely low temperature. That's why we call them as a cryogenic tanks. Typically, all these tanks will store gases like oxygen, nitrogen at a temperature well below minus 150 degrees centigrade. At such low temperature, conventional tankages do not work. The carbon steel will not work. Some special materials are required. So normally these are all double-walled vessels where the vessel of storage is stainless steel, and then we have the outer jacket of carbon steel or stainless steel, and then we have something called a super insulation or extremely different kinds of insulation technologies under vacuum, which is like a... So this is a technology by itself, and it is not a commodity product where anybody can produce that. As you could see that globally, we are among the top 10 companies in the world who are producing such a kind of a specialized product. And therefore, the competition is very difficult to come in because this is highly engineered, highly, it requires a lot of certification to produce. So there are challenges both in designing the product, manufacturing the product, and making it very reliable on a large scale. So that keeps the competition away.
Thank you very much, sir. You really explained me to my satisfaction and my understanding. Thank you very much for it. I mean, there are, you were talking about automobile tanks. That is, suppose in a Tata truck, we have to fit in a LNG storage tank. So, I have heard of Everest, Kanto and Confidence Petro making lot of cylinder type or tanks meant for fitted into automobiles. So, are they our nearest competitor in that segment or no? Kindly reply.
Anto and others will produce the high-pressure cylinders in which you can store natural gas and make it CNG. And CNG is the one which is supplied, or these are the CNG storage tanks. Now, these are storing the natural gas in the gaseous form at room temperature. As against that, what we do is that we provide those tanks which can be fitted onto the Tata or Ashok Leyland or any other truck, which is in the liquid form at extremely low temperature. And because it is liquid, it is much more denser than the gas that you are putting it even under high cylinder. So what we deliver is a completely different product and is suitable particularly for large quantity of fuel to be stored in a truck. So that has the longer.
So these fuel tanks are roughly around 450 liters, and it goes in one stretch around 700 kilometers in one fill. So that's the advantage of these fuel tanks.
Right, sir. I'm really thankful. I mean, now I establish that you are one of the prominent niche players in this, and you have established yourself to be a responsible and reliable supplier of these items. Sir, one more question is coming to my mind is about scientific product. When you say we make scientific product, means what?
We do make scientific products because such low temperature science requirements come up for a very research application, which would give for, let's say, for helium distribution, which is minus 259 degrees centigrade. So, these kind of things which are requiring a very...
So either for making experiments or dwelling or using such critical products under such temperature that people would require these kind of products.
Absolutely. Cryoscientific, we can say we have supplied so many equipments during from the second launch pad. So whatever launches you are seeing from the Shriharikota.
Okay. Sir, my last question is regarding our raw materials. So all our raw materials are indigenously available, or we have to procure, or are we improvising on basic metals that we receive and make it usable for our end.
Normally, our vessels require, the inner vessel is of stainless steel, austenitic stainless steel, and outer vessels are carbon steel. Both these materials are available in India, but depending on the customer requirements, if somebody asks for a foreign material or we export the import the material from other countries, but there are specific valves, control valves, and many other equipments which are not readily available in India, that time we have to import those components.
Okay. So when there we are not supplying tanks, you are supplying the other additives for, as you said, that as a kit for converting liquid into gas in operation, such other parts are being procured by us?
So
or do we manufacture certain more parts other than tanks?
For conversion of kits, we don't do anything. There are conversion parties who are involved into it, but we support them from our tank side and the operation side so that we make a success for the owners of the tanks.
We will never take an order
we request you to please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kaskiwala, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, as you get 50% of your revenues from export market and 50% from domestic, so globally, Linde PLC is a market leader along with, you know, a few other players. So, how do you see yourself, you know, in terms of facing the competitive challenges from the global leaders? And in the domestic market, do you see any risk of, you know, let's say Linde PLC entering into domestic market through its Linde India company, and how do you plan to face that competition?
Yeah, Linde is one of our customer as well. We supply for last more than 10-15 years series of tanks to their requirement, even for their projects. What you rightly said, they recently started some tank manufacturing, and the project is just started. I think they will take another 3 to 5 years to really produce good number of tanks in their shops.
May I just supplement what Deepak Acharya has mentioned? You see, as I mentioned earlier regarding Inox Air Product, Linde is primarily a gas distribution company, and their major focus and the businesses that they are doing globally is to make air separation plants. That is what you see as a major revenue. They always require the cryogenic storage and distribution, and bulk of it is procured from outside, and we are the supplier to them on a global basis to different geographies. They do have their own manufacturing of tank in Europe, but it's a high cost, their own manufacturing and then utilization, they do it. But bulk of their requirement for Linde is actually procured from outside, and we are their primary vendor or one of the critical vendors for that. So as we see that even when their India operations grow or any other global operations go, they are not our competitors, but they are more complementary we are more complementary to them. And even if they take up any example, let us say there is a large project in India, we are the ones who supply all the storage tanks and regasification systems to them.
And in terms of commodity price inflation, how do you position yourself? Do you have sufficient bargaining power to pass on the commodity price inflation, or you might be required to take a hit on margins if the commodity price inflation goes out of control?
No, normally it is a pass-through. We are in a position to pass the, because there are only limited suppliers and all of them would have the same situation whenever this customer requirement comes in. So it's a pass-through for us.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you everyone for your active participation and for your questions. We hope we have been able to answer most of your queries. In case we have missed addressing any of your queries, kindly reach out to us or Investor Relations Officer Mr. Sunil Lavati, as well as our IR partner Ernest & Young, and they will connect with you offline. Thank you. Thank you very much for the participation.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, Mohit. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.